How are we doing this morning? Good to see you. Good to be here. Good to come and minister the word to you this morning. I'm actually, turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, please. I'm actually quite excited about this morning, simply because my preach didn't start here. My preach started at 10 o'clock this morning. And if you were there, you would have heard what was prayed, especially, I don't know where she's probably out in kids' church or taking kids there. Amanda prayed something that is in line with what I'm preaching. Janine prayed in line with what I'm preaching. The prophetic word that Janine brought is in line with what I'm preaching. And then Kevin just nailed my title on my sermon for you this morning. And those up on stage see my beaming face, smiling face. And what I want to speak about today is a new you. Yeah, Kevin's so excited now. I'm like, woo! A new season, a new day, a new year, but a new you. And Kev, come pray for me. Come on. Let's get the anointing flowing here. Oh, yeah.
So, Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that your word brings change, liberates us, it transforms us. And so, Father, I just pray as your word goes forth that our hearts, it would land on good soil today. And, Father, that our hearts would be open and that your word would go forth and it would establish all that it needs to do this morning. Father, pray for Mark as he brings the word. Let's pray, God, that it just be such ease, simplicity. And Father, we just thank you for the messenger that he is of your word today.
Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 8. But we're continuing with our series, What is So Amazing About? There we go. And we're going to look at this morning a new you. Now, I think Kevin also nailed it this morning. When I say a new you, this is not law. This is grace. And for the last couple of years, we've been looking at law and grace, Old Testament, New Testament, Old Covenant, New Covenant. So by now, we are starting to catch up and get there. And so when I say a new you, I don't mean that you're going to be a new you today. I'm going to hope you're going to be a new you in some of your thinking and some of your paradigms. Because we know scripturally and biblically, when you got saved, you became a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things were passed away. All things became new. So you already were that kind of a new you. And so what we've looked at, we looked in the beginning what is so amazing about grace. We did a big, a two-week broad perspective of what grace is and what it's not and how it helps us. And then we looked at, over 3 weeks, we looked at foundations on the person of Jesus Christ, the transactions at the cross, and righteousness and what that means to us. And then before Christmas, we looked at going better, the law's old, law's gone, law's been replaced. We didn't actually change the law, we didn't do anything to it. Jesus came and fulfilled it, and it's new and better under His grace than it was under law, or was. And some of you might live a little bit about a little bit of law here and a little bit of grace here. And I'm hoping that the new you, I'm hoping today we're going to step up. And as Janine's prophetic word said, don't sit in the back row. And I thought, oh, so if you sit in the back row, then you know, I know I also was a back row sitter. So I'm there. But what the heart is step forward in the spiritual realm. Take an acknowledgement of the new you. Don't be thinking, I'm under grace here, and then, well, we just got to add in a little bit law to make it better, to make me feel better. Thank you. And sometimes we just reduce grace to this little doctrine or stuff that we talk about, and well, don't worry, my brother, you're under grace. It's so much more than that, and it's a greater way of living. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, thank you. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Verse 9, not as a result of works so that no one may boast. Verse 10, let's do that too. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, sometimes when we read the Bible, we go, Holy Spirit, help me to understand this, because I don't know what they're really trying to say. Is that true? Yeah? Okay. One, two. The rest of you know everything? No? Yes? Okay, just checking. But this one, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. Well, you mean I had nothing to do with this thing? No, you didn't. It was grace again giving to us, grace for eternity. And we read in the beginning, we've read it a number of times, and through the series we're probably going to read it again a few more times. John 1:17, that the law was given to Moses, but Jesus brought, delivered, gave us grace and truth. He came as a free gift, bearing a gift for us, grace and truth. Here you go, my children. The law we couldn't do. We couldn't keep up with the law. We couldn't handle the law. No man ever has been able to do the law except Jesus Christ. Turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians, please. Colossians chapter 2. It's a couple of pages over. There you go. Now we're going. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Well, what's so important about that verse? It says, just as you received Christ Jesus, as we received Him. And we like to sometimes say, no, I didn't really receive Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus. Or, I found Jesus. No, you didn't find anything. He came looking for you all the time, and you received Him. And the difference between receiving and giving is when I give you something, sometimes you feel indebted to me to be able to pay that thing back. But if you receive it, you're just abundantly thankful. And so these are paradigms we have to learn to shift and change. Well, I gave Jesus my life. No, you didn't. He gave you His life. You received His abundance. You received His righteousness. We received it. I received it too. We received what He gave us. We didn't have to give up anything. Well, I'll sacrifice for this. No, you did not sacrifice. No, we did not sacrifice anything. We have to learn to change our speak and our behavior and our thinking, because that will lead us into liberty and in freedom. Because the minute you start thinking that I gave Him something, then you feel that there's some self-work that I have to do to be appreciative for what He did for me. Are you hearing me? Because alternatively, I'm having to work now because I've given Him something and He died for me and that was bigger than what I've, so I have to work, I have to do work so that He will feel appreciated. As opposed to, thank you for the gift of salvation, Jesus. So that I can, according to Scripture, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I mean, just set aside spirituality, just in logic. How do you say thank you to someone who gave their life for you? The only way I've seen it in Scripture is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. That's the only thing I can do. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 14. I'm just laying a few scripture foundations for us to have a look at. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, which we've all done a whole bunch a lot of lately, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I trust you all had a great Christmas. I trust you got all the prezzies that you wanted, and you'll go and exchange the ones you don't want and all that kind of stuff. Romans 14:17. Our theology will determine our behavior, and our understanding of our grace will allow us to live in His grace. And it says here, the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy. We have been given His righteousness. We have received His peace. We have received His joy. And I'm not talking about happiness and joy. Totally different. Often we make it difficult for ourselves to accept the grace and receive the grace simply because, as I said in the beginning, we want a little bit of law that'll help us. Because we like the boundaries, and that'll help us to get into the grace thing. Or maybe it's because what you've been taught, or maybe because you think that's what God is like. Because there has to be something. And when you drill down to the gospel message, you'll go, walk away and go, it's so simple. Okay, how can I add some law to this thing to make this difficult? Because nothing comes simply in life. That's what we taught. If you don't come first in class, if you don't come first in the athletics, if you don't come first, if you don't win the trophy, if you don't win the medal, if you don't win the prize, if you don't win this, if you're not number one, you're nothing. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Because God don't make no junk. God don't make no junk. Yeah. Okay. Come on, you can work with me, it's okay. And sometimes we see this, and when we add this little bit of law and little bit of grace, when we've sinned, we do self-imposition, a ban of self-imposition. And we see it in life. Well, so you know me, I always compare with coming to church and gathering together as the saints do, because the Bible says you shouldn't forsake that, but we so often do. So if you sin, if you have a fight at home, you get all huffy pouty and you add some law into your thing. Why? Because now I can't behave. I've misbehaved and I'm not worthy to go to church to praise my Lord and to raise my hands and to sing and say Sunday, Monday, every other day, but Sunday, Monday. And we do all that kind of stuff, and then we stay home. We put the self-imposition ban on ourselves. But if we did the same thing, we don't say, well, I'm huffy pouty now. I'm not going to work today. Why? Because there's a totally different motivation. The motivation of gathering with the saints, of serving the King, should way above everything else. It's like people will teach you, well, what is most important? Well, God is most important, and then church, and then family, and no, that's nonsense. Jesus is at the center of everything. There's no ranking. Some of you are not sure about that. And then when you think, you know, shall I tell you when's good to sin, if that's the way you think? On a Sunday afternoon. Because then you can make it to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. For goodness sake, don't sin on a Friday or a Saturday. Because then you're going to stay at home. Oh, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. Man, I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. We need to learn to run into the rock and to the rock. Not into our own little cave where we self-impose our little ban until we feel we've appeased something or somebody. And mostly it's ourselves. Do you remember, it's not all about do, having to do stuff, because Jesus says it's finished, it's all done. That's where we need to live. Give yourselves permission to be joyous. Give yourself permission to go, I messed up. Kingdom of heaven. I'm in the kingdom of heaven. That's where I live. That's where I rule and reign. That's what I'm part of. I have righteousness, peace, and joy. And of course, apologize to your spouse or your children or vice versa, whatever. Happiness is a relative term depending on your circumstance. Joy is eternal. Joy is above and all beyond. Remember, we are in a war zone. We are fighting a battle. I love that thing when they did that. On the drums, it sounded like I should stand to attention. I'm ready to fight. Grab my shield and my spear and let's go to war. That's what it tells us in Ephesians 6:12. 2 Corinthians 12:7. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, this is Paul writing, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The importance wasn't the thorn. The importance was the grace that was given to him, that he could live in strength and power. My grace is sufficient for you. When we mess up, grace is sufficient for us. We don't have to, well, I don't know what this thorn. I'm sure the Lord has given me a thorn, because now we want to be like Paul. I have this thorn in my flesh that keeps pulling me down, and it's got nothing to do with the thorn. It's got everything to do with his grace. Hebrews 13:9. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. The point is that the enemy will come with different ways to try and attack you and to track you down and to hold you back. And we get a little bit like Eve, and I know I've got it somewhere in my notes here somewhere, and that we get internal dialogue. Internal dialogue is bad. It's not good. Because did he really? That's how internal dialogue always goes. There's always the negative for you to try and work it out. Am I good enough? Did he really say? Are the promises, I think Janine said that this morning, or someone prayed, the promises in Jesus Christ are yes and amen. We have to believe that stuff, because that's what we should be internalizing, not going, well, am I good enough? Will they accept me? Will they reject me? Will they help me? Will they stand with me? Will they pray with me? Of course. The problem is, just from a pastor's point of view, some people go to hospital. And then a month later, you found they've been in hospital and they come out. And you go, no one visited me. No one came and saw me. No one spoke to me. I said, sorry, my crystal ball's in for repairs. I can't help you. That's why we have emails and phones and texting and all that kind of wonderful technology. And all you have to do is pick up and say, hey, I'm not feeling well. I'm sick. Can you pray for me? Do you know that I'm going into hospital for an operation? No, I didn't. No one told me. Okay, well, now we know. Let's go. Let's do this together. People want to be part of it, want to encourage and help you to be a new you. Rule and reign in the battle zone. Be a new you. Don't, when the battle comes, think, oh, well, I don't know what to do now. No, you know, you do know what to do. Stand up on your pins and say, no further, no longer. In the name of Jesus, I stand against the enemy's attack against me and my family, and we're marching forward. You don't have to go into, well, 14 scriptures and 17 prayer times and anoint your head with oil and run around and fast and do all that kind of stuff. Trust me on this one. Jesus' promises are yes and amen. Take it to the bank. Romans 5:17. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. There's another one of those scriptures that's not hard to decipher. Just read it. Well, what did he mean by that? Much more. Abundance will we rule and reign. We are called to rule and reign. Be the new you for the new year coming up. I know I've got I'm losing my notes completely here, but that's okay. I'm comfortable as long as you are. You wouldn't know if I didn't tell you anyway. So, true. Yes, I know. It's truth. Grace and truth. There we go. Now I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah. So when we have this free gift around, I want you to do an exercise with me. Think of it this way. Your life is the air that you breathe. Satan's job is to cut you off so that you do not become the new. So all of you now with me go and hold your breath. Come on. There we go. I didn't say gasp, I said just hold your breath. Yeah, now I can hear you now. And the point is that the enemy wants to reduce and suck that flow of oxygen, because if you can stop now, for those of you who actually... Stop! Take a fresh breath. He wants to incapacitate you. He wants to get you a play where your brain is foggy because you've had no life. You've had no oxygen. If you saw that grace was that oxygen, and what you should do is breathe it in as often as you can. Every time you take in a breath, say, oxygen, life, ruling and reigning and touching and a new you and being counted for the kingdom and stepping forward and going into 2013. I know what I wanted to say. History is history. There's nothing we can do about that. What is past, don't live there. Don't judge yourself by that person. Don't judge yourself by, well, you don't understand who I was. And possibly, no, and maybe you never will. But that's okay. Because we can take a new fresh breath into 2013, as it were. Into a new you. Into the new grace that I'm trying to teach you and help you to work with. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and to destroy. And I came that they have life and have it abundantly. Jesus wants us to have life and abundantly and skip through the daisies, as it were. And I know sometimes you don't feel like skipping through the daisies. Sometimes you think, that is so not me. Break out and skip through the daisies. Be a new you. On what night did we do the Christmas Eve thing? The Christmas Eve thing. Yeah, 24th of December, or whatever day that was. Monday, thank you. That's where I was trying to go to. On Monday, there were some people who came and skipped through the daisies. And they were making a big fuss about it before, when we did the little flash mob thing. I can't sing, I can't do this, I can't dance, but they all did it. They all skipped through the daisies with a smile on their face. And showed you how crazy we can be. And I want to encourage you, take time, righteousness, peace, and joy. Skip through the daisies. Okay, you probably thought I was never going to change the slide. Three things that detract from you being a new you. Number one, we have not dealt with guilt and shame. Your self-imposed alienation, your self-imposed stubbornness maybe, is because we haven't dealt with guilt and shame. And we need to learn to deal with guilt, but you don't understand, Mark, I messed up. Yeah. I kicked the dog. Yeah. Don't tell Bridget, she'll hurt you. I'm joking. yeah. Come on. Don't be so serious. Come on. Deal with your guilt and shame. The alternative, of course, is rebellion. And the Bible says rebellion is unto witchcraft. Don't believe me? 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. Go and read it. When we deal with guilt and shame, it brings a freedom. It brings a liberty. We don't have to feel that we're skulking around. And I don't mean this physically. It means we don't get to have to sit in the back row because we're too afraid to step up. We're too afraid to come forward. We're too afraid to, you know, I had this revelation. I had this verse. I want to pray this prayer. Why? Because you go, well, you're not good enough. You can't do that. And you don't pray like they do or that one does. And that's just the enemy sucking the breath out of you, and you need to go, grace, I can do this. Life, I can do this. Abundance, I can do this. Thankfulness, I can do this. I suppose I should exhale here too. Bible tells us there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Get rid of internal dialogue. I've said it before, this is the enemy's playground. We need to clean this out. Metanoia, change the way we think, change our paradigms. But Mark, you don't get it, Mark. My whole upbringing is governed by my life. Yeah, do you want to hear mine? I'll make you cry. You want to sit with Chris and listen to his life? He'll make you cry. Sometimes bad stuff happens to good people. And I'm genuinely, if you've had a bad life, I'm sorry for that. But you can have a good life in Jesus Christ. A new you. Some of you ladies here have never felt the love of a father. You can. Maybe the guys have never felt the love of a mother or vice versa, whatever the case. I always feel like I'm the odd man out. Yeah, I know. I've been there. I lived that life. Told you, part of my testimony, I never fitted in anywhere. Well, I felt that. You remember what they said when they went into the land? And we looked like grasshoppers in their eyes. How did you know what they were thinking? No, but that's self-imposed ban. My guilt, my shame, my inadequacy that I put on me. And Jesus is saying, be free, my son. Be free, my daughter. Walk in grace and truth and righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Some of us are more acquainted with our failures, our sins, our inadequacies than we are with His righteousness, His joy, His peace. Because we live there. We live in the sin-conscious realm. A new you. Change the way you think. Get up every morning and say, I'm the child of a king. I walk in His grace. I can do nothing. But in Christ Jesus, I can do all things that strengthen me. We need some of that kind of dialogue as opposed to, life's too hard. I can't do this. I hate my job. Life sucks. I said it in a sermon 3 or 4 weeks back. Go to work and be the light that you're called to be. Be the salt that you're called to be. Go and make a difference. Go and make a change. Don't let them change you. You've got the word. You've got the gospel. You've got salvation. You've got everything. But when I go to work, I'm just like, I don't know. Can you imagine me coming on a Sunday? Because this is my work. Well, I don't know what I got for you today. I just feel so depressed. Some kid at a party next door. So I only went to bed at 3 o'clock this morning. I felt like growling like a Rottweiler. But here I am, full of righteousness, peace, and joy. And I'm not special. Thank you. You know, when we do the self, I don't know why, it's always the self-imposition. When I was writing the notes and preparing this 3-day self-imposition ban thing we get, the thought came to me, guess what? Jesus fixed that and sorted that too. He went 3 days in the tomb, bang, came out. Here I am. And we've got to learn to do that. Forget about the 3 days. Jesus already covered that for us. Okay. Second thing, we believe we're still indebted to God. Think about it. Well, He paid such a great price for me, so therefore I owe Him a debt. I know when I was a kid we used to sing, back to my sin I dare not go, because a debt of love I owe. I know, it sounds good, very good. Is it good Bible? Because then Jesus, because then I'm bargaining. And then Jesus would have said, if you love me, then I'll die for you. if you serve me, I'll go to the cross for you. If we think that because he died for us, because he went to the cross for us so that we would love him, then it's a bargain chip. Now we've got this bargain chip in our head. Now I owe him a debt, so how do I repay that debt? What did we just read in Colossians? If you receive this grace from him, we didn't give it, we received it from him. All we have to do is, Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of care, of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Colossians 2:14, by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. That should be liberating. If you think that you're indebted to God, Mark, aren't we? No, we're not. But that's understanding grace and not licentiousness. That's understanding we don't go from law to licentiousness, we go to grace. Thank you, God, for what you did. Because if I gave Chris $1,000, and then he feel, well, what do I spend it on? You know what? I actually feel like going and buying, well, I don't even know if a good guitar would get him $1,000 or get him a good guitar. So $5,000. Now we're talking, he says. Gave him $5,000. He says, man, I said, Chris, do what you like with this. And he says, I'd like to really spoil myself. What about Susan? No, I said, I'd like to really spoil myself. She's good, he says. Yeah, she can't play guitar. Then he feels indebted to me because he's just going and squandering it. And he might think, he's squandering. I'm thinking, dude, I gave it to you. Do what you like with it. He says, you know what? Actual fact, you know what I'm going to do with this $5,000? I'm actually going to take this $5,000 and I'm going to give it to Ellen. And then I get all huffy pouty. Dude, I gave you the money. He says, no, because it's his. He can do what he likes with it. And that's what we think it is sometimes. When Jesus gives us the amazing gift, then we go, oh, okay, now how do I deal with this? What do I do with this? Well, I better work hard to make sure that he knows that I'm really thankful. Because that's law. Grace says, thank you, Jesus. Okay, let me make sure I'm losing my way today. That's fine. Number three, pride resists us receiving grace. Now, I'm not prideful. Okay, let's check. In John chapter 13, Jesus goes in and he gets in with all his disciples. And the custom in those days was that when you'd be walking around and you come into a person's home, was they wore sandals, they didn't have nice clothes, shoes and socks, woo, and all that kind of stuff. And so what they would do is they'd wash the person's feet and then they would come in, they would sit down the meal. So they'd been walking outside, they get inside, they sit down at the table and Jesus going, so none of you are going to wash the feet? Okay, it's okay, I'll do it. So he gets up and he sits down and he washes the feet. And then I think it's Peter says, well, what are you doing, Lord? He says, I'm washing your feet. And then Peter gets really prideful. He says, well, then you just wash my feet and my hands and my head as well. And he says, no, Peter, you don't understand this. And then he explains him to him. The cock's going to crow three times before you, and you'll deny me before then. And I'm just going to wash your feet. And we need to learn to take the pride that we have and set it aside. Pride and self-sufficiency are camouflaged in independence. No, 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 it's okay. I'm good. I've got this. And it's one of the biggest lessons I've had to learn. My wife and I have had to learn receiving. Because it's so much better to give. And if someone wants to give you something, you go, oh no, it's okay. It's all right. We need to learn to receive. In Luke, we see the thief on the cross. He's dying. And he says to the other, modern day language, fool, This is the Son of God you're talking to here. And he says, Lord, remember me when you go into your kingdom. And what does Jesus say? Okay, now you've got to say the three prayers of repentance. You've got to go and fix up what you wronged from everybody else. Whatever you stole, make sure somebody gives that back to somebody else. We need to go and baptize you. You've got to say the sinner's prayer. What else? No, he says, today you will be with me in paradise. Finished. Grace is not for when we have an issue or when we're resisting it and then we get into an issue. Oh, no. I need God. God, where are you? He's like, hey, I've been here a long time. Where you been? We need to learn to receive the grace. Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. What we need to sometimes do, and I know I see it often, pray for me, Mark. Start to pray, and you start to pray. Turn your transmitter off. Put your receivers on so you can receive. Because otherwise, just pray for yourself. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about whenever we pray for each other. I've seen it happen so many. Because in so many circles, people pray and then they're praying together. And I'm like, I don't get this. Learn to just receive. Just turn your transmitter off. Put your receiver on and receive. Because that's why we're doing that. When we acknowledge we need grace and we change our lives. And it's through by grace. Access through grace, for grace, by grace, into grace. We need to learn to counteracting resistance to receive grace. Because sometimes people resist grace. Because no, we've never heard this before, so it can't be right. No, this should be liberating and freeing you out of bondages of law. So how do we receive grace? Number one, by faith alone. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It's by faith we act. So what is faith? Faith is not some mumbo jumbo that you build up. By faith, I've got to do this thing by faith. Faith is a spiritual internal awareness that I receive this by grace, by faith. I don't understand it. I don't need to understand it. Jesus said it's true, so I believe it. Because otherwise, then we end up doing the whole, okay, I got the faith thing, let's go. And you got nothing. You got a sore headache from grinding your teeth or sweating. Because then we also say, God will extend His grace to me if I'm doing something. If I'm pushing in. And sometimes all we have to do is just stand and say, Lord, I receive your grace. Teach me your ways. I think someone read that this morning. Need to take away some right brain and put some left brain in so we can just flow in it. It's not psychological positive thinking. Number two, we need to have humble hearts. James 4:6, second part B. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. We need to learn to differentiate between false humility and true humility. I'm going to help you. False humility. Well done, Chris. Thank you for leading worship here this morning. Thank you for doing. Oh, no, it wasn't me. It was all God. You prideful person. Just say, thank you. By God's grace, I was able to do this. Do you know that God uses people? And then the minute we say, well done, you go, oh no, it wasn't me, it was God. It's pride. False humility. False humility. I'm worthless. I can't do this. I can't do anything. Please don't ask me to pray. Please don't ask me to do this. Did you get through grade 12? Yeah, well then you can read and pray. Or grade 5 and below. Lord, true humility, grace is, Lord, help me. I need your grace to accomplish this. I need God's grace. Every Sunday I stand up in this pulpit. The minute I think I can do this on my own and I get clever about it, my father's going to tell me. And that's why I come in fear and trembling. But you've done this for so long, I don't care. I still come in fear and trembling because I take this thing seriously. And the minute I think, well, I've graduated from the school of hard knocks now, I can handle this thing. She stand up and preach a sermon, easy. Not a problem. Pride comes before a fall. You don't understand. I'm the smallest. I'm not worthy. I'm just, I don't speak eloquently. I'm just, by God's grace, I can accomplish this. False humility, pride. I'm unable to receive from others because there might be someone else who needs it. True humility. Thank you for the blessing. Because what we're saying is, if I said to, let's use Michael for a change. If I said to Michael, and you're only going to get $1,000, sorry, but I know exactly. See? This is the team I'm dealing with. Okay, I give Michael $5,000. And he goes, oh, that's so nice, but you know, Chris needs it more. You know what you're telling me? Mark, you didn't really hear from God. I heard from God, and I don't need your $5,000. Well, you trust me that God told me to give you the $5,000. And you say, thank you for it. Because alternatively, I don't hear from God, but oh, you do. Learn to differentiate it. God got it wrong telling me to tell him, and God got it right to tell him to give it to him. I know that sounds very complicated. Last one. We need a true revelation of the character of God. Satan wants to distort the view and the understanding and the knowledge, and I think Amanda prayed that this morning, she was trying, that we need to have an understanding and a revelation of the knowledge of God, not about God. Because our about God is so warped and off the wall chart half the time. 2 Peter 1:2. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We see that in Genesis chapter 3. We see that when Eve was in the garden there, and the Satan came, the defiler, the father of all lies. Did he really say? Internal dialogue. I wonder, if I eat the fruit, if I do this, will I be just like God? Because now God doesn't want me to eat that fruit, because if I eat that, then I'll be just like God. And that's when internal dialogue is really bad, because we need to learn to take hold of it. Why are we unable to receive grace and be the new you? Because we haven't dealt with our guilt and shame. Because we believe we owe him a debt, and because we are prideful. But we need to learn to break the strongholds that hold our paradigms like that. Break through the stronger. Break over your thinking. Break through into erroneous ways that we see God. Maybe that's why we need to stand firm on his word. Understand a new grace, a new you, through grace by faith. Grace by humble heart. Grace by the knowledge of God. It's all about Jesus, the bringer of grace and truth. If you want to understand and know the character of God and what he thinks about you, do yourselves a favor and go and read Ephesians chapter 1. And see all the ins. I've told you this. All the ins. And what he thinks of you. You know what he thinks of us? He says that in that, he says we are chosen. He says we are adopted. We've been elected in different translations. It says we're accepted. It says we are blessed. It says that we have his favor. That's who God is. Internal dialogue. Is he really like that? Are you sure? Go read it again. Get the word of God into us. Understand the character. Know it by faith alone. This, as I said, it's not a psychological thing. It's an internal, outward. It's intrinsic, not extrinsic. Let's stand together. Let's finish there. Stand together. Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that we continue to look at what is so amazing about your grace, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that the kingdom of God, where we rule and reign, where we get to be the new you, the new me, the new us, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Lord God, I just stand, and this morning, if any of you felt a paradigm shift or something you need to change, just speak to God right now and say, God, I need to change this way of thinking. I don't want to stand in legalism. I don't want to stand in law. I simply want to be in your grace. Your grace and truth, I receive it as a gift. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for rising again and giving me abundant life. Thank you for eternity. Thank you, Lord God, that you are amazing. Thank you, Lord God, that we live in your abundant grace. Thank you, Lord God, that every time I take a breath of fresh air, I take oxygen into myself, Lord God, that it's your grace. Your grace that makes me live. Your grace that helps me to breathe. Your grace that helps me to govern my attitudes. It's your grace that allows me to have peace and joy. It's your grace that allows me to be the new me. It's your grace that allows me to walk into 2013, head held high, sons and daughters of the Most High King, gracious servants of Jesus, Lord and Savior, Master of our lives. Thank you, Lord God, that I am chosen. Thank you, Lord God, that I am accepted. Thank you, Lord God, that I've been adopted into this family. Thank you, Lord God, that you have blessed me. Thank you, Lord God, that your favor is upon me and toward me. You are a mighty Father. Blessed be your name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.